الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي درود شریف اللہ Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, after covering the family members of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, we turn back to the contributions of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the year 628, 6 years after the migration, and in the 6 years of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions settling in a new city, Madinatul Munawwara, ulama have mentioned that 3 major battles had taken place. After migrating to Madinatul Munawwara, in the first 6 years, 3 major battles took place with the Qurayshi people. The battle of Badr, the battle of Uhud, and Ghazwe Khandak, the battle of the ditch. And after these 3 battles, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, assuming that possibly now Mushrikeen Makkah will want to diffuse the tension that is there and the hostility that is there, and with that in mind, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided that during the months of Hajj in that same year, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will want to perform Hajj. And when he made his intentions clear to the companions, as many as 1,000 Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in immediately were prepared to accompany Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this auspicious journey. And this journey was a peaceful journey, with the intention just to carry out Hajj and nothing else. All of the Sahaba-i Kiram ajma'in were non-combatants, making a trip to Makkatul Mukarramah without any arms and weapons. When this news reached the Qurayshi people, the Quraysh decided that they were to intercept the Muslim convoy and to prevent them from entering the zone of Makkatul Mukarramah. And this responsibility was given to Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, who at that time was not a Muslim. And to accompany Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala was the son of Abu Jahl, whose name was Ikrimah, with a cavalry of 200 strong men, making sure that if the Muslims were to come, it was Khalid bin Walid who would stay in the front to stop the Muslims from entering into the boundaries of Haram. Now when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the news and the entire plan of the mushrikeen, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided that rather than taking the direct route to Makkatul Mukarramah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to use the less frequented route, which was towards the south. And so this was a difficult passage to cross and to enter the zone of Makkatul Mukarramah. So after a very difficult journey, Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een, 1000 plus, with Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, got to the boundaries of Makkatul Mukarramah, and they ended up in a zone which is known as Hudaybiyah, which is towards the southern part of Makkatul Mukarramah. So when they got to Hudaybiyah, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at this entire region, and Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this is where I will ask all the companions to camp and we will station here. When the Kuffar Mushrikeen in Makkah, when they received the news that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the convoy is very close to the hudud and the boundaries of Haram, they sent someone who is considered to be the ambassador for the Qurayshi people, whose name is Urwa ibn Mas'ud, a very powerful man and a very good spokesman. So he came to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as an ambassador on behalf of the Qurayshi people to speak with Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to investigate and to see what the motives were, what are the intentions of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to see how many people are with Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Urwa ibn Mas'ud came, a very powerful speaker. Scholars have mentioned that he would speak in a very diplomatic language, and he would want to impress Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so he started off by saying that the mushrikeen are still very powerful, and even after three major battles, they have not lost the morale to fight the Muslims if need be. And so if you want, we are still prepared, and we can raise a powerful army that can crush the Muslims that are with you in Hudaybiyah. And saying that, he also insinuated, and he said that, I feel, in my opinion, that if the entire army of Makkatul Mukarramah was to come to Hudaybiyah, when they look at the army of the Qurayshi people, your 1,000 men would run away and they would abandon you. The companions would abandon you. When Urwa ibn Mas'ud said this, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, subhanallah, what a great mujahid he is, he said to Urwa ibn Mas'ud, La'natullah. What did he say? La'natullah. May the curse of Allah be on you. How dare you? How dare you say that we, as the companions of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, would abandon Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And he looked at Urwa ibn Mas'ud in the eyes and said, Urwa, listen to me. We will shield Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to the very last drop of our blood. To the last drop of the blood, we will shield Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allahu Akbar. And Urwa ibn Mas'ud was taken aback when he saw the very strong emotions that were flowing from Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. And later on in his conversation, Urwa ibn Mas'ud had this style when he would talk. He would always want to impose and impress others. And so when he would speak, he would want to make sure that everything is in his control. And there were a lot of movements when he would speak. And so when he was speaking, he would slightly lift up and raise the hands towards the beard of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and towards the face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A lot of movements. And so when one Sahabi noticed that the hands were being raised, what he did is that he unsheathed his sword and with the blade of the sword pointed it to the fingers of Urwa ibn Mas'ud. And he said to Urwa that, Urwa, make sure that you don't raise your hands to the beard or to the face of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, otherwise I will cut off all your fingers from your hand. Allahu Akbar. These were the companions, my respected brothers. When it came to the love of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was no compromise. These were the true individuals. who truly loved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the bottom of their heart. Urwa ibn Mas'ud, again looking at the condition and the reaction of the Muslims that were there, eventually he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, let me turn back and speak to the leaders of the Quraysh and see what they have to say. At that point Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Urwa, that Urwa, I want you to take with you Uthman bin Affan radiyallahu ta'ala, and he is the spokesman on behalf of the Muslims. And so as a means of assurance, take with you Uthman bin Affan, so that the Qurayshi people understand that the motives are purely to a peaceful journey, and our intention is not to harm anybody, or we are not here to fight the Meccans and especially the Qurayshi people. And so Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and again a very senior Sahabi and a man who had a lot of family members in the city of Makkatul Mukarramah, he went to the city of Makkah with Urwa. And so when they met up with Urwa, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an was also there. Urwa amazingly started off his khutbah and he said to the Qurayshi people that, O people of Quraysh, I want you to listen to me. I have seen many kings being an ambassador, I have seen many kings, but I have never seen a king like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, I have seen many followers, but I haven't seen any followers like the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, let me tell you one thing, that what I saw no one has seen, that when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam does wuzu, not a single drop of water would touch the ground. Not a single drop of water from his wuzu would touch the ground. Allahu Akbar. And not a single strand of hair that would come out from his body would touch the ground. There were many hands to receive that one single hair that came out from the body of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that single strand of hair was taken as a token of blessing, as a means of barakah. And he said to the Qurayshi people that, I feel the companions would never ever abandon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, even though he said, I feel that the companions would abandon him. And so he said, it is entirely up to you. Whatever you want to do, you do. But I think the companions are very, very sincere, and they will be on the side of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What the kuffar decided is they employed a delaying tactic, and they restricted Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an from going back and returning back to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the zone of Hudaybiyah. But they said to him that, Uthman, you are free to perform your tawaf or whatever you want to do, you can do. But you have to stay, and you are restricted to the hudud, to the boundaries of haram. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an said to the mushrikeen of Makkah that, I am not taking up your offer to do the tawaf of Kaaba whilst you deprive the muhajireen and the ansar, and especially Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Again we see the deep love of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an for Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And after a few days, of course, rumors had circulated, and we had covered this, but again, just to make mention of the contributions of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Rumors were spreading that Aliyazu Billah, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an has been assassinated, and the companions did not know for sure. And thereafter, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam with his companions took bay'ah, and Allah's Nabi was poised to launch a massive attack to the Qurayshi people. When the Qurayshi people learned that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is about to attack, they released Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an went back to Hudaybiyah to meet Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Behind Usman radiallahu ta'ala an came another spokesman for the Qurayshi people, and this time it was Suhail ibn Amr. Not Urwa ibn Masud, but Suhail ibn Amr. When Suhail ibn Amr came, he made a proposal in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which eventually Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted. And the entire proposal and the conditions were written in a form of treaty, which is famously known as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah, a very important treaty in the seerah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Islamic history. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wanting to make sure that the treaty is written correctly, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an to write the treaty. Again, we see the service, the khidmat, subhanallah, of this great man, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that from amongst the many, many companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was given this opportunity, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an actually wrote what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dictated to him. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Ali, I want you to write that this is a treaty between Muhammad, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the mushrikeen of Makkah. This is a treaty between Muhammad, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Messenger of Allah, and between the Qurayshi people. Now, Suhail ibn Amr was there, and he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you ask Ali to write min Muhammad Rasulillah. The Quraysh don't accept you as the Rasul of Allah. If we accepted you as the Rasul of Allah, why would we stop you? And so we want you to delete and to erase from this document the term and the title which says that you are the Messenger of Allah. At that moment, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said, Ya Rasulullah, my fingers are shaking. My fingers are shaking. This is not in my power to erase the title that Allah has given you, that you are the Messenger of Allah. And Suhail ibn Amr was adamant that we will not accept this treaty until you erase the term that Muhammad Rasulullah. We want you to write Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad the son of Abdullah, not Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the face of Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and subhanallah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ali, Ali, tell me where you have written Rasulullah. And he pointed it out, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself deleted it. Now of course Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that deleting something that is written in a document will not at all affect the status of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi is Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. The Quran says that I have taken the responsibility to elevate your name, to elevate the ranking of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted all their conditions, even though from the outset it seemed as if it was in favor of the Qurayshi people, but subhanallah, in the longer term, it was to be the great advantage for the Muslims only. Why? Because a 10-year contract was signed. A truce was declared for a period of 10 years that the Quraysh of Makkah will not attack the Muslims. Eventually, this gave the tribes around Madinatul Munawwara and the desert tribes to embrace Islam and to enter the city of Madinatul Munawwara. Now it wasn't a few individuals embracing Islam, but subhanallah, you had masses that were entering into Islam and were accepting Islam. So this was great victory. And the Quran has given a beautiful name to this treaty of Hudaybiyah. Allah says that it is Fatham Mubina, a clear victory for the Muslims. It was a clear victory. Even though Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an and many of the companions objected, and they felt that, Ya Rasulullah, that all advantage is given to the kuffar, the Qurayshi people. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, this is victory for the Muslims. And subhanallah, this was actually a prelude to the conquest of Makkah. It was actually paving the path for the Muslims to open up the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. And now, just to make mention, that in that year the Muslims were restricted from performing the Hajj, but the Mushrikeen agreed that the next year the companions can come and they can stay in Makkah for 3 days. How many days? 3 days. Now subhanallah, look at the vision of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The reason why I mentioned the Treaty of Sulayh Hudaybiyah, just to point out the contribution of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that the document that was written for the what is known as the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was handwritten by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Now, when the companions were returning back to Madinatul Munawwara, the vision of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the companions, in 6 years, how many battles? How many battles in Medina? 6 years? 3 major battles. Look at the bravery of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 3 major battles in 6 years. Badr, Uhud, Ghazwa-e Khandaq. Immediately after Khandaq, the bravery of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah's Nabi wants to take the Muslims straight into Makkatul Mukarramah. Whatever happened had happened. Now after returning back from Makkatul Mukarramah, going back to Madinatul Munawwara, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not make a direct journey to Medina. Does not make a direct journey to Medina. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consulted the companions and he said that before we reach Madinatul Munawwara, we need to sort out the matter with the Jews of Khaybar. What did he say? Look at the vision. The Jews of Khaybar. Now, where was Khaybar? Khaybar was approximately 100 miles away from Madinatul Munawwara towards Syria. And this was the most powerful Jewish colony at that time. The money and the economy and the strength of the Jewish community, everything was controlled by the Jews of Khaybar. This was their headquarters. And this was towards Syria, 100 miles out of Madinatul Munawwara. Why was it called Khaybar? Khaybar means fort. Khaybar means fort. There were many forts that were interconnected in the zone of Khaybar. Many forts that were interconnected in the area of Khaybar. It was lush, it was green, and it was an oasis in the desert. It is said that for miles you would see fields of date palms. Fields of date palm, miles upon miles. And all of that was in the full control of the Jewish people. If brothers recall, when we spoke about the expulsion of the Jewish people from Madinatul Munawwara, when Banu Nazir and Banu Qaynuqa were told to leave Madinatul Munawwara, and when they were banished from Medina, the people of Khaybar gave Banu Nazir and Banu Qaynuqa refuge. And so all of them were settled in the zone of Khaybar. So you had different divisions of the Jewish community that were settled in Khaybar. And each fort was, subhanallah, consisted of huge walls and huge gates. Just like what we see today. Nothing different. The apartheid wall in Israel restricting any movement of the Palestinian people in Gaza. In Philistine. This is exactly the same scenario in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They would build such strong, huge forts, and they would want to hide themselves inside. And these were the same people who fought with the Mushrikeen in the battle of the ditch, the Jews of Khaybar. And they would warn the Ansari companions that very soon we will come to attack Madinatul Munawwara. We will come with such a powerful army that we will crush all the Muslims of Medina. And this constant threat that came from the people of Khaybar. Look at the bravery of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Without weapons. Without weapons. Because the Muslims, the only thing they had was swords. Swords was something that was quite common in those days. The Arabs would not walk without a sword. The Arabs would not walk without a sword. Sword was something that was very common. If you go to Afghanistan today, and if you go to some zones of Pakistan and some other areas of the world, you will find that to hold a gun, it is a common practice. You go to Peshawar, I had an opportunity to be in Peshawar, and everybody there was with guns. Everybody was there with guns. Subhanallah. Massive pagri and mashallah, everybody with a kashana cloth and guns, and this was something of a normal thing for the people there. And the Afghans, children would play with guns, like how the toys, we have toys for our children, they have live ammunition and real guns. So this was something quite normal for the Arabs to have a sword and to walk. So it was only the swords that they were carrying. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided that we are not going back to Medina, we need to sort out the Jews of Khaybar. What a mujahid Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. Allahu Akbar. Imagine in the 63 years, the works of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is a miracle in itself. A miracle in itself. All the works of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam enters the zone of Khaybar. When the Jews look at the Muslim army returning back from Makkah with the intention to perform Hajj, and now they decide to stop at Khaybar, very peacefully Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent a message to the Jewish people that I want all of you to surrender. A simple message. I want all of you to surrender. And the Jews started to laugh and they ridiculed what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them. And they said that we will show the Muslims a lesson now that they are here. That you want us to surrender? And all of the Jewish people hid themselves back into their forts, shut the gates, everything was sealed, and they were inside. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that we have no choice but to fight. We have no choice but to fight. Now they had different gates, different forts, and all the forts had a different name. And so the Muslims started off by breaking the fort of Na'im. This was the gate of Na'im. Again, a very high gate. And this duty was given to a mujahid whose name was Muhammad ibn Maslama. A fierce fight took place between the Muslims and the Jewish people. Of course, the Jews had an advantage that they were on the top and the Muslims were to the lower side of the ground. And it was very difficult. A fierce fight between the Muslims and the Jewish people. In fact, even Muhammad ibn Maslama was shaheed in this battle. But after a few days, mashallah, the fort was captured by the Muslims. And also many other forts that were there were also captured by the Muslims. But the main gate was the gate that was known as Qamus. That was known as Qamus. And that is where all of the Jews were settled, and the main people were inside the section of Qamus. And how to penetrate and pierce through the fort of Qamus was very, very difficult. It was so difficult that in history it comes that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would give the banner of Islam, as in he would change the commander of leadership. Every day, a new individual would take command, and to see if he can take on the Jews that were inside the zone of Qamus, which was a very strong fort of the Jewish people. But every time they started, the mission was unsuccessful. Subhanallah al-Azim. And in fact, this fort was impregnable. And they would laugh and they would say that the Muslims can't do nothing to us. Until in the night, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam made dua, and he gathered all the companions, and he said to the companions that tomorrow Allah will give the banner of Islam to a man who is beloved to Allah and is beloved to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah will open the gate of Qamus from the hands of this individual. Subhanallah, Sahaba-i-Kiram ajma'in was so happy. This siege continued for more than 21 days. It dragged on for 21 days. It was a difficult mission. Until Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, tomorrow I will give a banner to someone with whom Allah is pleased and his Rasul is also pleased. All of the companions were waiting anxiously that inshallah it would be me. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq was thinking maybe the banner will be given to me. Hazrat Umar, every Sahabi would want that honor. And the next day Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gathered all the companions and he said that, where is Ali ibn Abi Talib? Where is Ali radiallahu ta'ala? He was born a mujahid. Remember, the Khalid bin Walid at that time was not in the camp with the Muslims. He was born as a mujahid, a great fighter. He says, call Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala came and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him the flag, the banner of the Muslimin. And everybody was so happy that the flag is given to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. It is said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself put on the armor on Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, talking about the armor of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was a military man. He had many, many swords and many armors. Many armors, many swords and many armors. Subhanallah. Like today you have people who put on bulletproof vests and stab-proof vests. And I had an opportunity to speak to one of the police community support officers. And I said to them that, is this a bulletproof vest? I said, no, the government can't afford that. It's not a bulletproof vest. It's a stab-proof vest. It's a stab-proof. A moth ani hai, so it doesn't mean they are going to stab you on the chest. They can strike at you anyway. Allahu Akbar. And so in those days, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was a man who was very keen for a good armor. In fact, during his khilafat, it is said that his best armor was stolen. The best armor of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala during his khilafat, going forward a bit, his armor was stolen. And so he started looking for this armor and asking people. No one knew exactly what had happened. After many years, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala saw his armor in the possession of a Jewish man. A Jewish man had the armor of Hazrat Ali. Now, obviously, if something belongs to you, it's easy for a person to identify that item. It's easy that I know this belongs to me and it is mine. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to this Jewish man that, if you don't mind, I want to say something to you. That this armor that you have belongs to Hazrat Ali, belongs to me. And he said, it does not belong to you. This is mine. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was Amirul Mu'mineen. He was the Khalifa. And this Jewish man was living under the banner of the Islamic Khilafat. And he is saying to Hazrat Ali that this armor belongs to me and not to you. And in fact, in one narration, he said to Hazrat Ali that, what is the point arguing with me? If you feel that this armor belongs to you, then file a case in the Islamic courts. Allahu Akbar. File a case in the Islamic courts. Now the Khalifa has to file a case that this armor belongs to me in the Islamic courts of Madinatul Munawwara or Kufa. Because Hazrat Ali, and I don't want to open up too much because we will continue with that. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, fine, this is the procedure in the Islamic Khilafat. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala went to the famous Qazi, the chief Qazi, Qaziul Quzat, Qazi Shureh. Qazi Shureh was not even a Sahabi. And Qazi Shureh, when he saw Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat Ali said that, I have a complaint that this Jewish man has taken my armor and I want to file a case and I want you to be the judge. Qazi Shuraih said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are the Khalifa, you are above the law as such, you can do what you want, you can also be the judge. And he said, no, it is my item, you have to be the judge. Qazi Shuraih, look at the justice system, look at this beautiful model of Islam. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was standing with that Jewish man, and Qazi Shuraih was there. Qazi Shuraih is saying to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, the Khalifa of the time, and saying, Amirul Mu'mineen, you claim that this item belongs to you. Being a claimant, what I have to ask you, according to the laws of Islam, you have to provide proof for me. You have to provide proof for me. What is your proof that this armor belongs to you? The Jewish man is looking. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that I have proof. And he said that my proof is my slave. And he called the slave and the slave came in. Qazi Shuraih said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, I don't accept the slave to be your witness. I don't accept the slave to be your proof. And he said, why? Because your slave is subject to you. And he can be a target of your influence. And therefore, Islamically, your slave cannot be your proof and cannot give testimony for you. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, that is fine, I accept that. And these are the Islamic laws, my respected brothers. And so the slave was put on one side. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to him, go and call my son Hassan. Go and call my son Hassan. In the court, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala comes and said, Amirul Mu'mineen is saying to Qazi Shuraih, ask my son Hassan, that doesn't this armor belong to me? Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala said to Qazi Shuraih that this is something that belongs to my father and it has been taken away by this Jewish man. Qazi Shuraih said that I don't accept the testimony of your son because he is very closely related to you. Of course the son would want to speak on behalf of the father and would want to support the father. And so Islamically, all of the witnesses that you produce and you bring in front of me are unaccepted Islamically because they are very closely related to you. Any other proof? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, I have no other proof. Qazi Shuraih then gave his decision and he said that I'm going to close the matter, close the case, and this armor belongs to the Jewish man. Look at the justice system during the Khilafat system, during the Khilafat of the Khulafa'i Rashideen. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and what he did is that he lifted up his hands and he made dua to Allah and he said, all praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given me people like Qazi Shuraih who don't fear to give a decision against the Khalifa of the time. Allahu Akbar. And he came and he embraced Qazi Shuraih and he said, Qazi Shuraih, what is this armor as compared to your wise decisions? And these are the laws of Islam. And the laws of Islam are laws that are permanent. And this Jewish man from the background was looking at everything. And he came and he met Qazi Shuraih and he met Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. And he said, the truth is that this armor belongs to Hazrat Ali. And I want to return this back to Hazrat Ali and said, someone had stolen the armor from Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and he came to me and he sold it to me and I bought it. And I knew that this item was a stolen item, but despite the fact of my knowledge, I still purchased that item. And he said, I know this belongs to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and he gave it back to Hazrat Ali. And he said to Qazi Shuraih that I want to become a Muslim. And this Jewish man became a Muslim and he said that it is only Islam that provides justice for all of humanity. Subhanallah. These were the Khulafa'i Rashideen. Inshallah ta'ala, my respected brothers, in our next session of Darse Hadith, we will continue from where we had left off. with the thought of Qamus inshallah in our next session. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سمعنا وطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.